Daniel chapter number 9. What I wanted to talk about this morning is the issue of the pre-tribulation rapture, and I'm not just saying rapture because I want to specify the timing of when it occurs, the pre-tribulation rapture, the pre-tribulation calling up of the saints in the air. You know, it brings us comfort as believers in the dispensation of grace to know that we're not going to go through the time of Jacob's trial, that 7-year tribulation period of God's wrath being poured out upon the earth. And but we do not believe these things because it makes us feel good. You know, it brings us comfort to know we're not going through the time of wrath, but that is not what determines our belief. You know, if you went through life just wanting to believe the things that made you feel good, you'd end up at life believing a lot of false things, a lot of things that are wrong and in error. You know, atheists try to make this accusation against believers. They say that we believe in the God of the gaps, that he's a crutch for those of us who are emotionally weak, who's just looking for something to help make us feel better or to make us feel good. In reality, I think the exact opposite is true. Oftentimes, you find that unbelievers are hypocritical in nature. And speaking lies in hypocrisy is what the Bible says. But I do think that the exact opposite is true. I think that it takes more faith to believe that everything came from nothing. That order came from non-order, that information, your DNA, came from non-information, that life came from non-life, and that consciousness, forget life, you know, the fact that you could have a living cell, but that you would have consciousness that we experience, self-awareness, that consciousness would arise from non-consciousness. So I think the unbeliever wanting to feel happy and avoid the unavoidable, which is the coming wrath and the judgment of God, tries to block the truth of God out of their mind so that way they can feel good. And the atheism becomes an ungod of the gaps. Their faith, they don't have any way to explain it, so they call it their ungod, you know. That's my phrase. They say, we don't know how life began. We know evolution is true. We don't know how life began. Just give us some more time and we'll figure it out. Well, I thought science was based upon observable evidence and fact. And you see, in actuality, their belief is much more of a faith, of a religion, than it is science. So don't ever let them try to tell you or to insult you by saying, well, I just believe in science, as if it makes them out to be somehow intellectually superior to you. Really, unbelievers deal with an intellectual inferiority, really, an immatureness. But anyways, my point being is that we don't believe in the rapture because it makes us feel good. We believe in what God's Word says because we believe God's Word to be true. And so we don't believe things on the basis of emotions. One of the doctrines that we believe is the pre-tribulation rapture, that the saints in the dispensation of grace will be called up to meet the Lord in the air before the time of Christ's return to the earth, before His wrath is poured out. And so I wanted to discuss a few points about that and the timing of that as well. And instead of focusing on the rapture specifically, what I'd like to do is I'd like to focus on the tribulation. So we're going to take a little bit of a different approach. Instead of talking about the rapture and focusing on the rapture, I want to talk about the rapture by first focusing on the tribulation. So I ask you to get your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. What I want you to first see is I want to answer the question of who is the tribulation for? Who will go through the tribulation? And now I think that most of you who are sitting here are familiar with where we're going with this and the the obvious answer to that question, but let's read some verses. Daniel chapter number 9, begin with me in verse number 24. It says, Daniel receives this vision, right? And Daniel, now there's an interpretation that's being given of the vision. There's some details that are laid out. There's details of timing here. There's the times of the Gentiles going on. Israel's carried away into captivity during this time. And so Daniel's given all kinds of information. And I want to key in on what's said in verse number 24. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Really, those are the two key words I want to key on in our reading here in Daniel 9, but I just want you to see that. When he says, thy people, when God is saying that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel, who are Daniel's people? Is it all of the world? Is it mankind? Or is it Daniel's nation? It's Daniel's nation. Who does Daniel belong to? The nation of Israel. So with that in context, let's continue reading. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Jerusalem is obviously associated with Israel. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Notice just emphasis there on the word prophecy, right? It's to seal up prophecy, that which is being made known, that which is being prophesied, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week, that's 1 week of years, that's 7 years, that a covenant is going to be confirmed. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So here what we have is a description of the timing of the tribulation, and for the overspreading, that the duration would be for 1 week, for 7 years. And verse 24 tells us that it's for Daniel's people. Now look over at Daniel chapter number 10. Specifically, we understand that the prophecy concerning the tribulation was for Israel, not for the church, the body of Christ. In chapter number 10 and verse number 14, it says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." People today want to talk about the latter days, the last days, the things that are going to come about, right? And they talk about they go over to the book of Revelation and they talk about the tribulations and the trials and the things that are going to come to pass. But what they want to focus on those things and talk about what it is that we believers are going to have to go through. But what they fail to recognize is the simple truth that when God speaks to Daniel, what he says is, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." That's Israel. The things that are going to come about in the latter days to produce tribulation is for the nation of Israel. Now there's many reasons. There's a refinement process for Israel. There's a purging and a refinement. Look over at chapter number 12 of Daniel. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Daniel 12, 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble." So there's going to be a time of trouble for Daniel's people, Israel. such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So what we have here is a very clear explanation that when the tribulation is going to come, it's going to come upon a nation. It's going to be Daniel's people, the nation of Israel. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ also mentions the abomination of desolation that Daniel speaks of. And when Christ mentions it, look over at Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew 24. I want you to notice that not only does God, to Daniel, specify who the tribulation is going to be for, but also the Lord Jesus Christ does so in his earthly ministry. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 15. Christ says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now let me ask you a question. When you read those verses there, tell me something. Who was Christ speaking to? He was speaking to the nation of Israel, but in those verses alone, when he talks about that tribulation coming, those verses tell you who it's for. Look at, well, in verse number 16, it contains specific information to those who are in Judea. Who's in Judea? Israel. And while that does not necessitate that the tribulation is only going to come upon those people in Judea, I want you to see something that does necessitate who it belongs to. In verse number 20, the people who are, this tribulation is going to come about, he says, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Now, who was it that has a Sabbath day that they need to recognize? Do you have one? What does Paul tell you about holy days or Sabbath days or meat or drink? He says, let no one judge you in these things. Well, here Christ is saying, you better hope it doesn't come on the Sabbath day. Simple point, why should they hope that it doesn't come on the Sabbath day? Because they're not supposed to travel, right? If you think that you're obligated to keep the Sabbath, and you're in your church today, and you think Sunday is the Sabbath, what did you do? You violated the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath. Now, so he's speaking. Go back to Exodus chapter number 31. You see, the Sabbath was established for a specific people. You know, there are certain principles in your Bible when you read it that you understand that it applies regardless, right? Exodus chapter number 31, look at verse number 16. There are certain things that are applicable only to specific people. Exodus chapter 31, look at verse number 16. "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." God made a covenant with Israel. He did not make a covenant with the body of Christ that we should keep the Sabbath and observe it and to observe the law and keep the commandments. He made a covenant with Israel to keep the Sabbath, and then he explained to them what they needed to do on the Sabbath. So Christ, when he comes in his earthly ministry and he takes upon flesh and he's speaking to Israel about the things that are going to come upon Israel during the tribulation, he tells them, you better hope that it's not on the Sabbath. Because you're going to need to flee. You're going to need to get out of there. It's going to be bad. Now I want to bring up another point. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 30. My other point is that this time of tribulation that we're talking about is associated with a specific group of people. Not only in Daniel when it talks about the 70th week, but also in the prophets. In the book of Jeremiah chapter number 30, look at verse number 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." There is a time of Jacob's trouble that he's going to have to go through, a time of refinement, you know, like gold goes through a refiner's fire. Israel's going to go through the tribulation, a purification, but the remnant will be saved through it. You know, my point being is that we understand that the tribulation is for Israel. We understand as dispensational Bible students that when the Scripture talks about Israel, that we haven't replaced Israel. We haven't come in and assumed the covenants that were made with Israel. We don't come in and have to keep the law and have to keep the Sabbath in order to be saved. We don't have to keep the covenant of circumcision. We understand that God is working differently today in the dispensation of grace through the revelation that was committed unto the Apostle Paul. Now, I'd like you to get Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to go to Zechariah chapter 13 if you want to follow me there. But I'm going to go to Daniel 9 first. I want to reread a verse or two. What is the purpose of the tribulation? It is to chasten a specific people unto God by refining them through that tribulation. And refine them for what purpose? For their kingdom. Daniel chapter number 9. You notice it says in verse number 24 that the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people Israel. Skip down to the bottom of the verse. And to seal up the vision and prophecy. The tribulation is to seal up prophecy. In your Bible, there is a prophecy program and a mystery program. Who belongs to the prophecy program? Israel. Who does not belong to the prophecy program? The body of Christ. So, let me read one more verse and then I'll continue to make the point there. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." You have these people being refined. It's going to seal up Jacob's trouble. The tribulation is going to seal up the time of prophecy to usher in everlasting righteousness. Now, I want you to note the characteristic of the tribulation is that it is prophetical. The characteristic of the tribulation is it's contained in prophecy. The tribulation is prophesied about. We know about it. Israel's program was extensively prophesied about. God tells them, this is what's going to happen to you. So therefore, prophecy is a characteristic of their program. This all begs the question also to the Acts 2 believers is, how could the church, the body of Christ, begin when the kingdom was still being offered? You know, you have one unprophesied program and one prophesied, and you think it began at the same time? Well, anyways, So one major point for this morning is that the things that concern the body of Christ are not prophesied. So just let that sink in for a minute. Because we just spent several minutes going through to establish the fact that the tribulation was not only for Israel, but it was prophesied about, it was spoken of. And so you have the tribulation is being prophesied. You know, and you hear sometimes people say, well, I know they say that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation. I just, you know, there's not a verse that says this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. I just hope that they're right so we don't have to go through it. You know, I've heard people talk like that before, right? There's the hope of, boy, I sure hope the rapture is before the tribulation. My simple point being here is that if the tribulation is that which is prophesied about, and the body of Christ has a program that is unprophesied, that is part of a mystery, will the body of Christ go through the tribulation? The answer is no. No, it will not. Get Ephesians chapter number 3. So if you're wanting to understand the timing of the rapture, one way that you do that is by understanding the characteristics of the mystery that's committed unto the Apostle Paul. Paul says in Ephesians chapter number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So he's chosen us for what purpose? Go over to Ephesians chapter number 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, if Paul's program involved prophecy, Paul could not make this statement, right? Because what Paul would say, Paul is saying here that the doctrine that I'm committing unto you was revealed to me by God. It was a mystery kept secret, hid in God, and it's now revealed to me and I'm communicating it unto you. The issue of the tribulation, you can search that out back in Scripture. You can go back in prophecy and look to see the tribulation is there. The tribulation is not for the body of Christ. Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The things which Paul is preaching was not made known. It was never revealed. It was not part of the tribulation program. In Colossians chapter number 1, Paul says the mystery has been hid from ages and from generations. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul calls it the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. So it's the hidden wisdom. How long was the wisdom hidden? How long was it kept secret? Paul says in Romans chapter 16, it was kept secret since the world began. Daniel, does that come before or after the world began? After. Thank you. So if the prophecy comes after the world began, we understand the difference in the fundamental characteristics of the mystery versus the prophecy program. Now, if the revelation of the mystery was kept hid in God since the world began, would we find any of the mystery in prophecy? No. Thank you. It was never written about in Scripture until the Apostle Paul comes along. The reason it was never written in Scripture, it's enforced by the fact that Paul says in Ephesians chapter number 3 that it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you can take your papyrus, you can take your manuscript, you can take your Bible, and you can search in there until, you know, to your heart's desire, and you're not going to find the mystery program. So all prophecy made before Paul received the mystery is silent about the people and the things of the mystery. That is the nature of the mystery. The body of Christ is something new, something distinct from Israel's earthly program, and therefore there's a big difference. And now let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. In this mystery, in this never-before-revealed information, Paul writes some comforting words. And this is what he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now I just ask a simple question, a couple of very simple questions. Does that sound like the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trial, the time where you're going to go through a refiner's fire to see what comes out the other side? He says that those of us who are alive and remain, the ones who are dead in Christ are going to rise, those of us who are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound good? Isn't that encouraging? I mean, we look forward to this. This is our hope. Let's go. That's right. I was just joking earlier. I said, I didn't even prepare a sermon for 11 o'clock. We're talking about the pre-tribulation. We're just going to get up. We're going to go. The point being is you understand that the tribulation is not mixed in this, is it? There's nothing that talks about the body of Christ having to be refined. The Lord Jesus Christ refines us the moment we believe the gospel and makes us complete in Him, gives us His righteousness, and makes us perfect. Our hope is to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If I were to go back and bring a list of all the tribulation verses, and I just had you sit there and I read them to you, would that be comforting? What did Christ say in Matthew? You look, don't even go back to your house. If you're out in the field, if you're on the rooftop, just jump off and start running. You know, like you better pray that it's not in the winter, and you better pray that it's not on the Sabbath day. Is any of that comforting? That's a time of tribulation. That's a time of trial. The rapture is words of comfort. It is to be caught up in the Lord, caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with Him. It's him coming down, shouting, and us coming up. Whereas the tribulation is him coming back down to the earth and wrath being poured out. No wrath for us. No wrath for us. For we are not appointed unto wrath. Look, there are many ways we could spend many lessons going through the doctrine and going through verses to lay out the timing aspect and all of that of the rapture, whether it's the pre-tribulation rapture, the mid-tribulation rapture, the post-tribulation rapture, premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial. My point being is that we as Pauline dispensationalists understand the distinctive ministry of Paul. When you just understand on a high level Israel's program and the program for the body of Christ, it unravels all of that confusion of theology where they wrap things up in pretzels because they're trying to support things. It unravels all of that, and you can easily see we can't go through the tribulation. There's a difference between tribulation and Israel's program and the hope that we have in the body of Christ. There's a difference between prophecy and mystery. Therefore, and for many other reasons, but this morning we just stuck on the high level, you understand that the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture is correct if you understand the difference between Israel and the body of Christ. What a wonderful hope we have. What a wonderful hope that we have. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful what we're able to garner from it, to learn from it. We're thankful for the program that you've committed through Paul to us, Lord, the dispensation of grace, and we're thankful for the many blessings that are associated with us and the things that we have to look forward to. The dead in Christ rising, Lord, all of our loved ones who have gone on before us, who will be caught up to meet you in the air, and us following them, Lord, to be with you and to be with them, and the fellowship that we will enjoy for all eternity. What a wonderful, wonderful life you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.